Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation.
It's not often you get the chance to sit down with the Second Lady of the United States of America, especially during a week like this when we are celebrating America's 250th birthday. Well, today, you guessed it, we are joined by Usha Vance, a mentor, a mother, and an inspiration to so many. As the wife of the Vice President, she brings both grace and purpose to her role, representing the very best of what makes this country so special. Well, we're going to be talking all about it, from America's 250th to baby number 4, to the beauty of motherhood and her passion for literacy. That's all coming up next. Stay with us.
This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms.
Hi. Oh, it's good to see you.
Oh, nice to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're back.
Where would you like me to sit today?
Right here.
Great.
Well, this is incredibly exciting to have the Second Lady on the 250th celebration of America, 4th of July. Second Lady is in the seat. Thank you so much for coming, Mrs. Vance.
Well, thank you for having me today. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, can you believe that we are celebrating America's 250th birthday? I mean, this is amazing.
No, I mean, it's such an exciting year. I obviously grew up hearing about the previous celebrations, and so it's kind of thrilling, right, to be here for the 250th.
Yes. Well, welcome. I have a little gift for you from Moms for America. We do try to do a little fun stuff, and since we haven't talked about baby yet, but we do have a couple of little gifts here for you if you want to just
wonderful.
Take a quick peek.
Oh, these are adorable. Thank you very much. And so, I know we'll be getting use out of the swimsuit.
Can you show that to the
board
so everyone can see how cute this is? Look at this for the baby. And I hear it's a baby boy?
It is, yes.
Oh, congratulations. Then we also have a book that says Welcome Baby to the World. So mm-hmm. we had to get you a book.
Yes.
So appropriate.
Absolutely. And this is one that we don't have yet. So I know we'll have a lot of fun with it.
Well, good. So a little gift, some Moms for America, coffee cups, bags, t-shirts, and another little thing for the baby. So
thank you.
A little gift for Moms for America.
Wonderful.
We'll give it over here to
Nikki. Of course.
Thank you.
All right. Sure. Well, how are we feeling? I mean, we're close.
Yeah, it's actually, I'm realizing how close because we've done virtually nothing to get set up.
This is how life goes when you're busy, right?
And, you know, it's our fourth child, so
yes.
We feel like we know what we're doing. But then I look around the house and realize, you know, nothing is ready. So, yes, we have about 7 weeks left, and we're very excited.
Yeah, so baby number 4, what's different about this pregnancy? Well, probably what, like you're just saying, you don't have everything all set up because the life of the second lady and the vice president is probably a little bit different having a baby during this time in your life.
Yeah, well, there are a few differences. I'll say I'm a little sleepier with this pregnancy, but in other ways, it's been a lot easier because our youngest child right now is 4.5,
nice.
Which means she's basically self-sufficient, right?
Yes. She can help.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas when she was born, her brother was not quite 2. So we were still chasing, and he was a wild little 1-year-old. So I felt I was just tired all the time.
Right. Oh, so now were you surprised? I mean, were you planning on having another baby? Were you just open to whatever God sent your way? Any little story about that?
Well, we did talk about it a lot. I had always wanted to have 2 kids, and then I thought, when I had the second child, I just loved it so much that I wanted to have a third, and that just seemed so clear. But then we had our third child, and it was in the middle of JD's Senate campaign, and then, of course, our life has been just epic chaos since then. So that was really not on my bingo card at first. But JD had always really wanted to have another child, mm-hmm. and we talked about it a lot, and I started to feel this sense of openness to it, and I thought, well, if I'm feeling openness, I should just see mm-hmm. whether it happens or not. Give myself a window of possibility. And I know I'll be happy if we have a fourth child, and I'll know I'll be happy if our family is 3. So this is the way things turned out, and we're really thrilled about it.
Oh, that is so incredible. I do say this, mostly every mom that I talk to, unless they have 10 children, they always say, I wish I would have had one more. So
congrats to you kind of just stepping out there and saying, you know what, if it's going to happen, we're open to having that baby. So super fun. How about the kids? What did they say?
Well, they're excited. You know, at first, one of our kids who doesn't really love change was a little taken aback. So he had about an hour and a half of processing. And then
what's happening, Mom? Yeah.
Then he came back and he said, this is going to be fun. I love babies. And so I think he's pretty excited. And our daughter, who has always been the youngest in the family, but really thinks of herself as twice her age, you know, is really excited for a promotion. Oh. So I think that'll be great as well.
And the baby brings so much fun to a family, and
Absolutely.
It's just so much joy, and so I can't wait to see baby. And it is a baby boy, right?
That's right. That's right.
Are you sharing names yet, or is it just that's all top secret?
We haven't actually decided on a name, so it's neither top secret nor something that we can share. We just don't have it.
Yeah.
But that's always been the way for us. Yeah. We've always been pretty indecisive until right when the baby arrives.
I was going to say, is it kind of like you see the baby and you're like, okay, it's a Jimmy or a John or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Okay, well, I mean, birth rates have been down, so you're following through with carrying on the legacy of more children. I love that. What would you share to our moms? We have some moms that are kind of like in this same predicament that you are. Mm-hmm. Should I have another baby? Shouldn't I? And we need more babies, you know, I think, in America. So your words of advice, go for it maybe?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't pretend to know whether how many children is the perfect
right,
number for any
course.
Given family. And like I said, I didn't really know what that perfect number was for my own family. But something that I've seen through having first a child at all and then having successive children is with each one, the world just opens up a little bit wider.
Yeah.
They're all such different people in such beautiful ways.
Yeah.
And there's just a real joy in getting to experience the world through their fresh eyes and their fresh perspectives every time.
Right.
So I just can't imagine at this point what my life would have been like if we had stopped at the two that we had. I'm
right.
so glad that we have our third, and I know I'll be so glad that we have our fourth. So if there are people who feel that this is the right thing yeah. for them, then, you know,
go
being a little open to it, just go for it,
yeah.
I think.
I love that. I wish I would have had one more, but no going back now. I'm going to live through everybody else that's having their children. And it does seem like there just seems to be a lot more pregnancies. I don't know, maybe I'm just, you know, seeing it a lot more. But when you talk about motherhood in your position now, how has motherhood really continue to change your perspective in public service? And, you know, we'll get a little bit now to your mm-hmm. literacy, but motherhood changes us for good. We become different people through our journey as moms.
Certainly. And, you know, I was working in the private sector when I had our three children, you know, the three children who we have today. And only after we had three children, or I guess JD was in the middle of a Senate campaign when we had our third child. But this transformation into a life of public service and in the public eye really happened while we had children. And I am so grateful for that. First, that they're really young and flexible and that they're able to experience all of this without it really having a major impact on them. They're just still fundamentally kids.
Yeah.
But I'm also grateful for my own selfish reasons, which is it's such an odd life, right? You're under such scrutiny.
Right.
There's so many opportunities to kind of separate yourself from other people and
right.
live in a bubble of just immense privilege and sort of isolation.
Right.
But when you have kids, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And frankly, their lives would be so terrible if we did do that.
Right, right.
So I'm glad.
To protect them from that.
Yeah, I'm glad we get to be in these positions, but in a way where we have no choice but to go live in the world and try to be as much a part of it as possible.
Yeah.
And it's made it, I think, a much, much more valuable and rich experience.
Yeah, I remember we did get a chance to talk with you before, and you said that you try to give your kids a normal life. You know, you have them do the chores, you have them prepare the meal. And I hear we even now have a chicken coop. Is this true?
That's right.
I love this.
Yeah, the chicken coop is, I will say, that is a great luxury of living where we live,
right.
where it's the most beautiful chicken coop I've ever seen.
I saw some pictures. I was like, I love it. I think I saw some of the kids out there. It's so fun.
Uh-huh. And we are doing the work related to the chickens. Right now, the kids' chore chart includes every day going and socializing with the chickens. Because the idea is that if the right. little chicks get to know them and they get to know the chicks, then as time passes and they have other chores, like helping clear out the hen house or right. collecting eggs, the chicks will be really comfortable with them.
Yes.
I guess the then chickens will be really comfortable with them.
Right.
So right now it's really all upside. I'm sure it'll get a little, the chores get a little harder eventually.
Yeah, when they've got to clean that chicken coop. All right, we're talking about family. What about family activities? What are some of the favorite things you love to do? I do know a little bit about you like to do some hiking and some different things. Mm-hmm. What's a perfect outdoor activity for the family?
Well, right now, because for the last year, my eldest child has been at a school where they spend an enormous amount of time outdoors. And one of his favorite activities during the school day is trying to catch critters of all types.
I love that.
So he's brought, we always did some of that. JD grew up catching things
right.
all day long.
Right.
That was his
hobby. He's an expert, right? The vice president is an expert at this.
Yes, I have a lot of photos of him with snakes and frogs and every conceivable creature. But now it's really taken the whole family by storm. I will say I'm not the one, diving for a rat snake
yes.
or treasuring the toad, but I'm a willing participant. So we've been doing a lot of that.
Oh, that's fun.
We can do that both where we live, but we also, there are public parks in DC that have creeks and rivers running through it, which nice. Is just such a gift. We spend a lot of time outdoors.
Okay, what about a date night for you and the vice president? I know it's got to be tough to do, but do you get a chance to do that?
We do, yeah. Our anniversary is actually coming up,
well,
so we have
dinner
plans.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
How many years?
Gosh, I guess it's 12 now?
Yeah.
I guess that's right.
I know.
That's crazy.
Isn't that funny when people ask you anything? I'm like, okay, don't ask me any particular questions about my birthday or my kids' birthdays.
Yeah, it just comes almost as a shock when I hear the number. It's really, right. it just has flown by.
So happy anniversary. So you'll get
you.
Out for your anniversary, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, we will go out to dinner. We have a really big dog who needs a lot of exercise. So we like to take walks together and, leave our kids home with a willing grandparent or if a friend is visiting, maybe
yes.
abandon the house for about
we'll
an hour.
We'll see in 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's fun. So you have dogs too, just one?
We have just the one now. We okay. had more previously, but, we have just the one right now.
Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
Let's talk about the literacy now. You often say that your mother, I've heard you say this in different interviews, is she's a beautiful storyteller.
She is.
And she read to you so much when you were growing up,
mm-hmm.
and you've really kind of obviously carried that on. We're going to talk about your passion with literacy. How often does Grandma get to, what do they call her? I don't know if they call her Grandma, but how often does she get to FaceTime the kids and read to them?
Well, it's pretty regular. So they call her Mum-Mum, which is short for Amama, which in the language that my parents grew up speaking, Telugu is the word for maternal grandmother.
Okay.
So when my now 9-year-old was a baby, he kind of transformed it into Mum-Mum and it just sort of stuck.
I love that.
So we spend a lot of time with her generally, but she does FaceTime them and read from across the country all the time. Sometimes I feel kind of bad. They'll FaceTime her in the middle of the workday and start demanding the books that they think that she just must carry around in her pockets right. or something. Right. But she's a great sport about it. And there are never too many books for her to read to them. And it's something they just really associate with her.
I love that. And do you read pretty regularly with your kids? I mean, I know you do. But is that a part of bedtime or is it something you just do spontaneous when they ask?
So it used to be part of our bedtime routine, but now that our kids are at three different ages and different stages in their own reading process, they prefer to kick us out of the room so they can read privately at bedtime and keep their lights on as long as they can.
Right, to the flashlights or whatever. Yeah, just exactly. that moment that they love to have themselves.
We're now to the point where we have to police lights out. We have to come back an hour later and see whether they've flipped it back on.
That's right.
And it's great. It's because they love it. So a lot of our reading to them happens during the day now at spontaneous moments, or our daughter goes to preschool a little bit later than her brothers. So the hour before she departs is usually peak family reading time where she reads to us and we read to her and we have just really enjoy that together.
Oh, I love that. All right, let's discuss the platform that you have. Childhood literacy is something that when you became second lady, you championed this. You started this last year. Mm-hmm. And then the summer reading program started last year. It's continuing this year, correct?
That's right.
And you're trying to make this three times bigger than the year prior. I love this.
Well, we're trying to make it many times bigger.
Many.
The way that we thought about it last year is we had this idea. Anyone who has children knows that the summer is full of, delights and wonders. Mm-hmm. But it's also a time when they have the potential to forget a lot of what they did during the school year.
Right.
So
I want to keep them sharp.
Yeah, you want to keep them in a routine of learning, of exploring new ideas, and ready for the next year, right? So
yes.
that they don't backslide, so that the next year isn't harder.
Right.
So having seen that in my own family and seen, a lot of the research about the real summer learning loss, we wanted to do something to combat that. But we did it kind of on the spur of the moment last year. We had a reading challenge where we asked children to read 12 books and report back to us, and we would send them a little certificate. Mm-hmm. And it had really incredible uptake. I think we had, with basically no media, no real rollout, about 20,000 submissions.
Nice.
So based on that and the way that it went, we have really massively expanded it.
Yeah.
It's in schools all over the country. It's in libraries, summer camps,
We're
all
sharing
sorts
it
of
with our moms.
Oh, thank
yes,
you.
We sure are.
Yeah. And we have lots of partners who are giving prizes now. So kids who read their 12 books, whatever it is that they want to read, all they have to do is send us the reading log, and we'll send the certificate, of course, but also the opportunity for a trip to visit Washington, D.C., and also a prize for the kids who participate that they get to choose, like something, a book or a pack of NASA swag, or there's a whole range of really fun things that are snacks for the kids who are a little bit more food oriented.
Well, prizes are great motivators. How do they find out about this? What is the website for that?
Oh, thank you for asking. It's whitehouse.gov/read. So really straightforward. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the website, it has the basic information. But like I said, it's super simple. You just have to print this reading log so the kid can write down what it is that he or she read. And if it's a kid too young to read on his or her own, then it's great to do it with a parent. If it's a kid who has differences in kind of processing or other things, it's okay to, read alongside listening to a podcast. Whatever it is that gets a child to engage with books is totally fine by us.
Okay. Well, then on the heels of this, now you have your own podcast,
right?
And you're doing reading and you're bringing on special guests. Tell us about that. Did you ever think you're going to be a podcast host?
No, certainly not.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I'm a lawyer by trade, and
yes.
I don't have a
you
particular
are just in
interest
all kinds
in
of new arenas. Yes, I love that.
But the way that we thought about it is this: I have a whole variety of projects that are going on, all of which are very targeted, all of which are meant to solve some particular or contribute to solving some particular element of this problem that we're having with declining childhood literacy.
Yeah,
but I can go and talk about it somewhere like this or on TV until I'm blue in the face, but no child is ever going to encounter it organically that way.
Right.
So our ultimate goal is to get books and get excitement about reading books into the places where kids actually are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why for the Summer Reading Challenge, we're working with schools and libraries, right? That's where
Perfect.
Kids are.
Right.
But another place kids are is in the car where they're bored and they want to hear something. So maybe you know, their mom or dad can stream a story on Spotify. And then they can hear encouragement from someone that they think of as really cool, like a football player or whatever it is, to pick up books and read for the rest of the ride or read when they get home, read all summer long, whatever the case may be.
And you've had some great guests so far.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had some really fun guests.
And what was it? Did you have the NASA or was it something you just did the other day?
Oh, well, yes. So the most recent episode that just came out, which I encourage everyone to watch because it was such fun, has the Artemis astronauts. They came down to D.C. to visit the White House, and they were doing a whole media tour, but they stopped by the Air and Space Museum. And so we got to film them reading a couple really great stories, but in the gallery that celebrates the first moon landing. So, you know, as you know, they're preparing for future landings and future exploration. So that was really wonderful.
Oh, I love that. Because in today's day and age, we are battling the screens, you know, and I know that you talk a lot about the importance of reading aloud. And just maybe some encouraging words to that. I think moms that are in this particular place, it's different. I mean, I read a lot of books to my kids growing up. But, I mean, it would be more of a challenge now because there's so much technology. So maybe just some words of encouragement about reading aloud and taking those steps and kind of, you know, fostering that in them.
Yeah, no, I can't recommend it highly enough. There are just the most basic ways in which it is wonderful for family life. Mm-hmm. You know, when you read with a little kid, or even with a kid who's emerging into middle school, when you read a much longer story, it's an opportunity to sit together, you cuddle on the couch, you have these real bonding moments. And I think it's sort of like habit, right? Screens tend to separate us, especially now that we all have individual screens. We're not just watching a TV show together.
Right.
Books really do bring us together. And even today, I have, you know, my oldest child is an avid reader, and he wants to read his own things. He doesn't want me to read to him, but he does really want me to read my book while he leans up against me.
Oh,
you know?
I love that, right.
That tradition still remains, and it's a way that we are very connected.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I'd say is, in this really, really stimulating world where there's always something dragging your attention this way or that.
A lot of competition.
Yeah. It can be really hard when your kids are bored.
Yeah.
Right? They
want
immediate.
It's good for them to be bored, too, because that's when the creative juices come out.
Absolutely.
Right?
But they want immediate satisfaction, especially if they're accustomed to getting it. And so one of the really good things that reading has done is that it has helped us keep our life very slow.
Yes.
And it has helped them always have something that they can do when they're bored. There's never a shortage of books to pick up. And of course, they go outside and throw a football or climb a tree or do all those things, too.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we just keep a little stash of books everywhere we go, they're pretty self-sufficient, you know? They're pretty happy. They're pretty content with the you know, waiting in line at the bank or all the other things that we used to have to do when I was a kid in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. I even saved in my kids' I have a box for all of our kids, and I saved, I think, 5 or 6 of the favorite books that I always read to them. So it is, and I hope that, you know, we can pass it on to our grandkids because books carry on, and stories are powerful and imagination. All right, well, I know I've got to do this wrap-up here, but it is the 250th. This is going to be like the week of 4th of July. Some words about celebrating America and how far we have come and just the beauty of the freedom of America. As the second lady, what would you share about celebrating America?
Well, I've been very lucky in that I grew up in California. I went to college in New England. I've lived all over the country over the course of my now 40 years. And it is just such an incredible place.
Unbelievable,
there are the most amazing national parks that you couldn't see anywhere else in the world, right? There is wildlife. Of course, we have this range of regional cultures. The 4th of July, the 250th anniversary, seems like just the perfect opportunity to get out there and see a new part of the country.
Yeah.
Or just explore the part that you live in and really appreciate what makes it home, what makes it so special. And I know we'll be doing that. Last year, we got to go to Teddy Roosevelt National Park on the 4th of July.
Oh, nice.
Which, you know, we'd never been there, and we saw the bison and all of these creatures that we just read about.
Yeah.
But we saw them in the real landscape. And I hope people will do that where they live, even in small doses, and just wonder at how lucky we are to get to be here.
Yes. Well, what about patriotism, too? Just some thoughts. And this is such a great moment in history to celebrate America's patriotism and our history. Mm-hmm. America isn't perfect, but America is amazing. And it is the greatest country in the world. How do we restore that patriotism? I think a little bit of it truly has gotten lost, unfortunately. I think we've lost the stories of our American heroes. There's maybe been an apathy of freedom that it's just taken for granted. Mm-hmm. How do we restore that patriotism, especially for the 250th?
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't point to books. Yeah. We have such a wonderful literary tradition in our country.
Yes.
That celebrates everything from the opening of the frontier to our major cities to our major historical figures. So that's one of the ways that we are going to be enjoying the 250th anniversary in our house and just really focusing on the people who made this country so great, who came before us, and who made the possibilities that we enjoy today, you know, available. But I'd also say just getting to know your community and seeing all of the different paths that led them here, but led them to form a real community. Yeah. This is the only country in the world where you can have that kind of diversity of background, where JD could have grown up in Ohio and Kentucky, and my family could have come from India, and we could have found each other,
right,
fallen in love, raised a family, and had so many shared values. It's because of our shared story. And those sorts of things are possible here
in America.
It's a real gift, and something I'm really grateful for every day.
It is. It is. It is the greatest place to dream, the American dream. Well, to all our best to the family, and to
you.
The kids, and to the vice president, and to everyone else. Wasn't this wonderful having the second lady here for our 4th of July 250th? So, happy 4th of July. Happy 250th.
Yes. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Thank you. So nice having you.
Thank you. This is a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Can I go like this?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
See you again.
I appreciate you so much.
A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.